Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
We've been covering the story of Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, the drug lord who escaped for the second time from a Mexican maximum security prison earlier this month. Chapo is head of the Sinaloa drug cartel. He's one of the richest, most powerful criminals in the world. And if the story of his escape down a hole in the prison shower and through a series of secret ventilated tunnels wasn't amazing enough, well, then just listen to the story of Jack Riley. He's deputy administrator at the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration in Washington now. But back in 2011, Riley was in Chicago. He was listening to some wiretaps, and on them, Riley heard Chapo talking in chillingly specific terms.
Yeah, unfortunately, there was a series of investigations going on along the border, and I had been in El Paso previously, and some intelligence information was developed that he was actually looking to pay somebody to cut my head off.
Decapitate an American DEA agent. The Sinaloa cartel has the resources and the reach to pull something like that off. So in the clipped parlance of a career law enforcement officer, Riley says the threat got our attention.
But to be really quite frank with you, I took it kind of as a badge of honor because it signified to me that our efforts were really causing his organization, I think, some trouble.
Wow. Were the threats credible?
Well, we never really were able to find out, and many times that's what happens. But certainly his organization, Sinaloa, and his ability to corrupt and have the resources to do something like that obviously got our attention, and we paid close attention to it.
But of course, Chapo was caught early last year, and then this month he escaped again. So Riley is paying even more attention now. He says he's hardly slept since the hunt for Chapo began on July 11th. And Riley says he's been chasing this man for years, so it's professional. He's seen the violence, terror, and corruption the Sinaloa cartel has wreaked on both sides of the border. But it's also personal, because Jack Riley is unflinchingly clear about his feelings for Chapo. He says he hates him.
One of the best days I've had in my 30 years on this job was, about a year and a half ago when he was finally captured. That was just a great day. Saturday a week ago, about 2:30 in the morning when I found out he was on the move again, really was one of the worst days I've had on the job.
Can you tell me more about that?
Well, clearly, I was exposed to him for many, many years. For me personally, having threatened me, but also, more importantly, having firsthand eyewitness of what his organization has done, not just to innocent people in Mexico along the border, but what heroin in particular has done to the Chicago area and the Midwest region in the last several years. So for me, he is the number one bad guy in the world.
Mm. I mean, so you're talking about, the devastation that the addiction and drug trade causes in the United States, but you also hinted there as to basically, I mean, the bloody and violent war, for lack of a better term, that's been going on in Mexico because of narco-terrorism. I mean, tell us a little bit more about what you've seen or what you know of that and El Chapo's responsibility for that.
Well, clearly the Sinaloa cartel is probably the number one criminal entity in terms of its viciousness, the way it's well-financed, and its ability to have reach literally globally. As a criminal entity, it's probably the worst we've ever seen. And I think that in itself should get people's attention. But what that organization has been able to do to capitalize on the prescription drug problem here in the United States and tie that to heroin, I think is unprecedented.
Hmm. How much did it matter when he was captured? I mean, I heard you say that that was one of the best days of your career when he was captured last year. But did it have a real impact? Did it set back the Sinaloa cartel for Chapo to be in prison?
You have to look at it as really any corporation. If, for instance, the president of NPR Radio, who had run the organization for 20 years, was suddenly removed, communication becomes undisciplined, alliances begin to break down, and for us in law enforcement on both sides of the border, that is an opportunity to do serious damage to a longstanding organization. And indeed, over the last year and a half, working with our Mexican counterparts, we've made substantial hits on Sinaloa, and I think we've weakened it.
But on the other hand, if I may, somebody got him out.
Well, clearly, when you look at his resources, I mean, he's a billionaire. So his ability to recruit, to maintain ruthless killers, people that are very, very loyal to him and his cause, obviously played a role here. But what I don't want to do is concentrate on how he got out. What I want to concentrate on is he is out. And it's our job, along with our Mexican counterparts, to get this guy back behind bars as fast as we possibly can.
Now, the DEA did offer assistance to Mexican authorities when El Chapo was captured last year. Can you describe to us what the DEA is offering now on this new hunt for him?
Well, clearly the hunt's back on. And just so you know and your listeners know, what we're doing now, as we did a year and a half ago when we first caught him, is we're connecting the dots. We're using all of the intelligence information we have available, both here domestically from investigations targeting Sinaloa, but also working on the ground with their Mexican counterparts, using every legal tool possible, and we'll do anything we can to help them. The one thing I can tell you that Chapo really hopes and plans on is that the good guys don't talk to each other, that cops don't talk to cops, that we don't connect the dots, that we don't share information. And I've been around for 30 years in this job, and I cannot think of a better time in our history that we're doing it more effectively now. So if I was Chapo, I would be looking over our shoulders, because we have just as many committed Mexican law enforcement as we do here domestically, and we all want to see this guy hooked up.
He is basically at least one of the most wanted men in the world right now. You know, you've been following him for so very long. Where do you think he might be?
Well, unfortunately, that's one of the things I can't really talk about. But people really, they form habits. And I think he's probably returned to his homeland in Sinaloa, up in the mountains, where he controls virtually all of his surroundings, clearly has a security force that probably rivals many big city police departments, and has the communication ability to be forewarned. So if I was him, that's where I would have gone. And clearly, we're working everybody in his organization, his family members, anybody that would have facilitated him, and all of the other information that we're developing here domestically, targeting people that represent Sinaloa. And I think that's an important distinction to make between what we're doing today and what we did a year and a half ago when we first hunted him down.
Mr. Riley, if I may, I'm very taken by the fact that you said that both the best day you've had on the job and the worst day are tied to this man. And I can hear in your voice now a pretty profound passion to track him down again.
If I ever took this badge for a reason, it's to lock this guy up. I mean, this is truly good versus evil. And we need, collectively as a law enforcement international community, to do whatever we can to get this guy back in prison.
Do you worry about your own safety, given the threat against your life that he made 4 years ago?
You know, I used to worry about things a lot. Now I worry about the people as I sit in headquarters here. Now I worry about our people on the street all over the world and our Mexican counterparts. That's what keeps me up at night. So, yeah, I worry about everybody's safety.
Final question. I've read some people say that Chapo's escape from prison this second time really lays waste to Mexico's anti-narcotics efforts over the past few years, that it basically shows that they haven't been doing enough to keep their most dangerous cartel leaders behind bars. Do you agree with that?
I mean, you got to look at it this way. Law enforcement on both sides of the border, we act within rules and regulations and laws, and we have limited resources. Chapo makes up the rules and has unlimited resources. So I really do think, and that's what this comes down to, good versus evil. Now, I also want to caution you. This is a marathon, not a sprint. We're in it to win, and the Mexicans are in it to win. And I certainly look forward to retiring the day that we get him.
I mean, that might be a long ways away. Last time he was on the run for, what, 13 years?
Well, I really am optimistic that we're going to cut that in half and hopefully get him in custody and continue to work diligently to dismantle all the cartels, including Sinaloa.
Well, Jack Riley is the Drug Enforcement Administration's deputy administrator, speaking to us from Washington. Jack Riley, thank you so much.
My pleasure.